Hi everyone, welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy and I host the show. And today we have another great guest, and yes, we are going to open the phone lines, something I just started doing, but we are going to be opening them. His name is Jade Luna. So Jade, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it very much.
You're very welcome. Now, let's talk a little bit about who you are first, and then we'll talk about your book, and we'll open phone lines, and we'll do a few readings for people. But how did you get started doing what you're doing, Jade?
I started putting horoscopes together when I was in high school. And I've had a pretty interesting career because I've never had another job in my life. Right out of high school, I came to Los Angeles, and I ended up giving a reading to Courtney Cox when I was 20, and she advertised me in a magazine about 2 weeks later, and I've had a full-time job ever since. And I've spent a lot of time also kind of reconstructing astrology in general, because I also went to school for astronomy. And when I was in school for astronomy, which is in Phoenix, Arizona, I was told that Western astrology was astronomically 23 degrees off the star constellations. And this led me into learning Eastern astrology, led me to India, going to school in India. And then over a period of time, then I learned that Hindu astrology, which is relatively, you know, it's probably one of the most popular forms of astrology in Asia, was actually brought to them by Alexander the Great. And so my work at that point was reconstructing the system that Alexander the Great had originally brought to India. So it's been a long, long career in astrology so far.
You know, it's really funny, Jade, because, you know, I talk with a lot of people, and a lot of people use different methods, which is okay. But sometimes their methods don't really say the same thing as other methods do. And so sometimes people go, well, if it's a scientific method, which is what they consider astrology to be, then how can it vary? So, I mean, now you do with, you know, the Alexander the Great. Now, some of the other astrologies that have been used are just like typical everyday charts. And you said that they're about 23 degrees off.
That's
so
correct.
In knowing that, then I would think if their chart is 23 degrees off, their signs and who they really are may not necessarily fit what other people may be telling them. Is that possible?
It's not only possible, it's what I'm trying to correct, and I'll try to explain this as basic as possible. This Earth wobbles. It doesn't have an even rotation. And that wobble was never calculated in what we call tropical Western astrology, making it off the star constellations by 23 degrees. Now, Hindu astrology and Chinese astrology, they follow this wobble, making these systems perfect, where the only system that is inaccurate is the one that we are using here at this moment. And the reason for this complication was the astronomer Ptolemy. I'll start first with Hipparchus. You know, in the Hellenistic period, about 150 BC, this astronomer named Hipparchus, he recognized that this earth wobbled. Although I'm finding out now that he didn't recognize it, he actually learned it from the Egyptians, because the pyramids of Giza were specifically created to calculate this wobble of the earth. So the Egyptians literally were the masters of all astrology. Hipparchus learned it in Alexandria, Egypt, and he spread this information all throughout Asia, India, and so forth, and all astrology at that time was corrected to fit this wobble. Then came Christianity, and then came Islam. So the books of Hipparchus and this correct system of astrology were destroyed in every place except for one location, and that was India. So the truth of Hipparchus only stayed in India, and that was it. Then about 160 AD, an astronomer named Ptolemy ended up correcting astrology at that time, but he didn't end up using that wobble. And astrology and astronomy at that point kind of lost its center from what originally had taken place from Hipparchus. And so about 1,000 years after Ptolemy, astronomy recognized that the system or the model that Ptolemy created was incorrect. And then they dropped the system of Ptolemy because he didn't follow the precession, where astrology didn't drop that model here in the West. They kept that incorrect model, and hence it is still being used to this day here in the West. So I'm on somewhat of a campaign now to adjust astronomy and astrology together, because in all ancient times they were the same. They were the same thing. All astronomers used to be astrologers. They've only been separated since astronomy dropped the model of Ptolemy, where astrology kept that model. So this is quite a heated subject. You know, I'm known for very confrontational subjects, and I'm in a tour right at this moment, and I've never in my life had a subject as controversial as this one. And in many ways, it's actually been fun, too, because I'm trying to add a new life force to astrology as well and get people to think a little bit deeper than they have been.
Yeah, it's really funny because a lot of people, they will go and they will read their daily horoscopes only to find out that they're not working or they're not what they say. But those daily horoscopes really aren't the truth about too much of anything, is that true?
Correct. That's right. Most of the cases, they're just using the sun and the moon. And, you know, here the thing is, people are not really the signs that they think that they are. But, like, I had someone come in for a reading the other day, and, you know, she was like, I'm not a Sagittarius, I'm a Scorpio. And I'm like, yeah, no, you're a Scorpio. Meanwhile, she had six planets in Sagittarius, so she was going to carry still a lot of Sagittarian traits. But I am trying to push people towards this change because I do believe that we are out of alignment at this moment. And by accepting that sign that's right before, I think it aligns people with themselves. And I believe the struggle that people are going through, accepting that they might be another sign, is also the same struggle that people have when they're out of alignment. And when you try to align them, as you know, sometimes people fight to stay attached to what I call the shadow self. And I believe that this is aligning people, and that's what this struggle is about, is alignment.
There's also another difference. You have palaces. Okay, you know, so let's talk a little bit. Well, your book is called Assyrian Astrology, and it's volume one. So let's go into your book a little bit, because you do have different things in your book that I even, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, but I have not heard about either. You know, like one is palaces. So how does that relate or not relate to normal astrology, or could they use it and add to it? How does that work?
Well, I'm really happy you asked that question, because about 4,000 years ago, there was a lunar zodiac, and it was given to the mother goddess. And about 4,000 years ago, most cultures on this planet perceived God as the divine feminine as opposed to the divine masculine. And this 27-28 sign system, which in India they're called nakshatras, it was the center of all astrology, and it was the most powerful system out there. And then as feminine divinity started to wane and masculine consciousness arose, they ended up getting rid of what they call the lunar zodiac and replacing it with the solar zodiac, which has 12 signs, not 27. And so I believe that we're in this definite phase of integration between the masculine and the feminine, and I'm trying to bring that female zodiac back that has been neglected for about 4,000 years. And the palaces are the ancient signs of the feminine zodiac. And I like the 27 signs more than the 12 anyways, because, well, the lunar zodiac is more connected to the moon and its transitions. And human beings, well, we know this through science that the moon has control over the tides on this planet. We know that through science. Well, human beings are 70 to 80% water. We are the water element. So the moon, in most cases, has a much stronger effect on who we become than the sun. So I'm basically out there saying these 27 palaces are more powerful than the 12 signs anyways. And at this moment, I'm trying to revitalize these palaces because of how specific and how much more powerful they actually are. But yet, the ancient lunar zodiac, and these were originally the 27 signs of the divine feminine.
Okay, but now you also talk about God in yours. You know, like you talk about God in your 27 palaces.
That's right.
How does that, you know, that's also very different. So, how does that relate to, say, now? You know, what they use.
Well, using basically, like, because in the 27, there's gods and goddesses. The divine feminine was considered also to be somewhat of a neutral force as well, and she had masculine traits and feminine traits, so the 27 palaces were just the different expressions of her nature, whether they were masculine or feminine. And again, how they relate to the 12 signs to this day, I personally believe they have to be used together to really perfect astrology. Like, as an example, we have three types of Aries, three types of Taurus. Like, I shifted from being a Taurus, I was born May 8th, to an Aries. But it wasn't just an Aries that I shifted to, I was an Aries elephant, where inside of Aries, there's an Aries horse, there's an Aries elephant, and an Aries ram. And so we have different types, and I believe when these two are integrated together, you get astrology in its perfection. And, you know, I just believe that regarding the subject of God, I believe the age we're moving into is based upon the integration of the two, mother and father, inside of ourselves. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, that pretty does. Let's do this. I'm going to give you my date of birth. And so when people start to call in, they need to give you their date of birth, the place where they're born, just like a regular astrologer does.
That's correct. Time is useful. I don't necessarily need the time, but it works better to have it. What was your birthday?
My birthday is July 30th, 1948. I was born at 4:59 p.m. in Rockford, Illinois.
Okay, hold on one second here. And there we are. Now, your chart's very interesting. So I'm going to tell you where your changes exist. You went from first and foremost having a Sagittarius rising to a Scorpio rising. And your moon went from Gemini into, actually it was late Taurus. It's still early Taurus now. And your sun is in Cancer. Now let's talk, you are my favorite to talk about. And I'll tell you why, because Leos have been having the hardest time making this transition going from Leos to Cancer. The biggest misconception right now is the constellation Cancer. Jupiter, who was Zeus, the king of the gods, chose to be exalted in the constellation Cancer because the ancient Romans and the Greeks saw Cancer as the most powerful of the 12 signs. You are what we call a Iove, which is the Roman name for Zeus, the king of the gods. Those traits in yourself that you've experienced to be Leo, I solely put under the sign of Iove, which we put as the most powerful of the 27 palaces. And but nevertheless, you have a powerful Taurus moon under a star called Vesta, and today is the day the sun went into the Taurus side of Vesta. And I would have to say your chart's been going through a lot over the last couple of years, I'll tell you that. You have Saturn right at this moment going over your Mars. You've been under a serious reconstruction since September of 2009. And the good news is that reconstruction energy you've been dealing with starts to wane over the next 2 to 3 months. So you are getting ready for what we call a rebirth cycle or rebirth energy where you'll start feeling a lot more positive energies going into June and July than you have been over the last couple of years. So you're just coming out of a really intense cycle of Saturn going over your Mars, and you go into this reconstruction, more positive phase going into June. But yeah, no, Saturn is directly on top of your Mars right at this moment, not making life very easy.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about Saturn, you know, also being a planet of money. But I don't know how true that is because, I don't necessarily follow astrology. I just know a lot about it because I've talked to a lot of people. And I do know that people have a very hard time when it comes to making shifts with who they think they are versus who they really are. You know, just, the shifts going on in the world today. People are having a very hard time making the shifts. You know, they thought that the planet Earth was just going to be wonderful forever and we could just take from it, take from it, and take from it. And they're finding out that that's not true anymore. You know, so I would think people changing, you know, their signs when they have been, you know, said, okay, well, you're a Leo Sag with a Taurus moon, blah, 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 that they would have a very tough time going, well, you know, that can't possibly fit me. But I think, you know, after I read your book, it makes more sense than the normal astrology that what people are listening to. You know, so
I appreciate you saying that very much because I will tell you, with these radio shows and the expansion of my system, it's been a lot of conflict. I mean, very few people have been wanting to embrace me at this time, mainly because of the evidence I have proving my case is so substantial. I'm actually proving from the scientific realm and the spiritual realm that this was the original system and people are really not these signs. And instead of people actually questioning and stepping out of themselves and looking objectively at themselves, they're just fighting. there's arguing without even thinking. And I did this as well. You know, I was born May 8th. I grew up thinking I was a Taurus. And I remember when I was in astronomy school, and my astronomer looked at me and said, well, what do you want to do with your life? And I said, well, I'm an astrologer. And he goes, oh, you're going to hate this class. And I said, why? And he said, well, Western astrology doesn't follow the precession of the equinox, making it incorrect. And I said, well, if I'm not a Taurus, what am I? And he goes, you're an Aries. And I said, no way in hell I am an Aries. I mean, I'm a Taurus 100%. And then that night, I went home, grabbed my book, looked at Taurus, practical, conservative, earthly, and then I looked over and looked at Aries, brash, trailblazing, all these various things, and I went, oh my God, I'm an Aries. And it was at that point, it wasn't just about aligning with my astrology sign. I aligned with who I was. And I really believe that this shift that I'm trying to make happen here is not just about astrology, it's about people aligning with their true inner essence. You have a really interesting chart, and as the one I'm talking, I'm looking at your chart at the same time, and you have Jupiter on your rising in Scorpio, which in India and also in ancient Roman Greece puts you at favor with the goddesses, the Fates, the Morai, or the Parca. And it was known in ancient Roman Greece that the axis between the star Parca and Vesta, which was where your moon is, was considered to be a source of great power. That, on top of the fact you have a Jove sun, you know, if we had a longer show here, we could get into the full details of what this means, but there's a lot of spiritual energy in your chart.
Okay. Now, we're going to take a call because we're starting to have some calls come in, but we're not done really talking with you because I just, you know, so what we're going to do is that I do tarot cards, and my tarot cards are usually pretty good. Okay, so we're going to get the person's name, their birth date, and the first person is Martha. So, Martha, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, so what Luna needs, I'm sorry, what Jade needs from you is your birth date, the place,
okay,
and the time. And if you have a question, that would help.
Okay. My birth date is September 15th, 1958, and I was born in Kensington, Maryland, at 2:50 in the afternoon.
2:50, that was in the PM, is that correct?
Right.
Yes.
2:50, got it. Well, Martha, you started what we call in India your Sade Sate. Sade spelled S-A-D-E, Sate, S-A-T-I. This has been going on in your chart for about 4.5 years, maybe even 5. As a matter of fact, I would put 2005 down as a point where your life would start going through a series of very powerful changes. Starting in 2005, you had the planet Saturn going over your Mercury, your Venus, your Sun, then your North Node, and you're in the midst of these really powerful transitions at this time. The good news is for you personally is that Jupiter just went into Aries about 2 weeks ago. And by the end of this year, you end this pretty intense phase that's been going on since 2005. But this phase for you is about reinventing yourself. The last few years have just been about tearing off the old, where now it's about the rebirth of the new. And this summer, late summer, early fall, you'll actually feel a tremendous amount of expansion going in your favor. That's because you have a Libra moon, and Jupiter is going to be opposing that Libra moon and then your natal Jupiter. So expect this summer and the fall to be a significant time which will move you out of a difficult phase that's been going on since 2005.
See, and
okay,
I'm going to add to that real quick, so don't hang up, because it's really interesting, Jade, how what you have told her matches kind of what I'm going to tell her in the cards. See, she comes up as a princess of pentacles, which means she's
okay,
very, very smart. Martha, you're very, very smart when you want to be. Is that not true?
Very, absolutely true.
But you don't show that a lot, you know. So I'm not saying walk around like you're Miss Know-It-All, but at least let people know that you do have answers. Because, see, you come up with success 3 times better than you think during this next 6 months, followed by the
okay,
sun, which is the second best card in the deck. It means good energies, good things coming for you. Good judgment in your favor, so that means do not second-guess yourself. Like, you know, Jade is talking about these changes that are going to be happening. While they're going on, Martha, do not second-guess yourself. And by all means, do not ask other people what they think. because chances are they're not going to have a better answer than you do. And then you come up with the second best money card in the deck coming your way. And by September, which goes along with what, you know, Jade had just said, your cruelty gets out of the way and you come up with good judgment in your favor again. So, I mean, you know, like I said, his book made a lot of sense to me after I read it. Until I read it, I didn't. But it does coincide also with what I get with the cards. So we both can't be wrong for you, Martha, okay?
No, you're definitely, this sounds really pretty much like the direction I'm going in. Do you have anything that you can tell me about, like relationship?
Right now.
Potential?
Right now, I will tell you, because of the changes you're going through, you'd be much better off not necessarily getting involved with anybody that's going to slow you down. There is one man that's hurt you pretty badly that you're not quite over yet, so I wouldn't bring in somebody else just yet. So just be patient with that, okay? It'll happen, but get yourself balanced first, okay?
Okay.
Good luck. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
It really amazes me a lot of times how when I have other people on and I actually, you know, open phone lines, because I just started opening the phone lines on the station. But
I love it, Nancy. I mean, that was amazing.
Well, it coincides with everything, even though people may not think so. You know, like I use the Crawley Soft Deck. Now, on my deck, it has all kinds of astrology signs on it, but I don't go with that. I just go with what comes through.
And I've owned that deck before, and I find that deck to be the most fascinating by far.
Oh, it is. You know, it's really cool, and it just happened. But, you know, so when people are curious about who they really are, Jade, a lot of times they really don't have a clue. Is that true?
Well, I'm dealing with this all the time now. Like last week, you know, I give several readings a day, and this has been a lot of work now that I'm actually confronting people with these new signs. And, you know, I had this lady sitting in front of me, and she's like, oh, God, I've spent my whole life thinking I'm an Aries, and you're telling me I'm a Pisces. She's like, oh, my God, I don't feel like I'm a Pisces at all. And I said, well, what do you do? And she said, I'm a nurse. And I said,
yeah.
So let's get into your life, and let's talk about this a little bit. And within a matter of minutes, you know, she's like, oh, my God, I'm an actual Pisces. You know, and one thing that's also very unique about these palaces is people start to take on physical traits of the animals that exist inside. And I use a lot of celebrities, like let's use Angelina Jolie as an example, because she has a cluster of planets in Aries in Western astrology. And in many respects, she does carry some of those warrior type of vibrations. Now, in my system, she is a solid Pisces. She has her moon there, her sun there. She has a stellium of planets there. Now, you look at the roles that she's played, a girl interrupted, and even just, you even physically look at her, she's an actual fish. From the way her mouth is formulated to the way that she appears energetically, she's a Pisces. And people who know her up close would probably confirm the fact that she's a Pisces, not an Aries. And if you look at her again, she even carries the characteristics of a fish physically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing very unique about this system is people even start to look like their signs. Like if someone comes in and sits down in front of me for a reading, and they don't look like their chart, I know their time is wrong. The animal risings are constantly shifting like every 10 to 15 minutes, and people can come and sit in front of me, and if their chart says that they should look like a tiger, yet they look like a snake, which is tall and lanky, I'll say your time's off by 10 or 15 minutes, and I'll make that adjustment right there and then. But this system is completing people, and yeah, people do really resist the truth. It actually happens often.
It does. I have a date for you. This is my granddaughter's date, and it always fascinates me, and when we're done, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
She was born February 2nd, 2000, so she's a triple two baby, number one.
Yeah,
She was born at about 11, I think, 35 a.m. in Hinsdale, Illinois.
Okay, almost there. Hinsdale, is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, let me see. And she's got a pretty interesting chart here. She has a really, really powerful Moon-Venus conjunction under a star called Cato, which is inside of Sagittarius. She has her Sun in Capricorn under a star called Apollo. Apollo is the divine teacher of the zodiac, the 27 signs. Now, I will also say her Venus being in the eighth house with the moon is not the easiest alignment to be born under. Although, because of the Apollo Sun, you could see that the challenges of her life would end up making her an enormously powerful individual. And she has an alignment that is very common for someone that ends up helping people go through doors that they've been through themselves. So the life is set up not to technically be easy, but to be very rewarding in the long run because they have these opportunities to really assist people through their own challenges. The strong eighth house energy does indicate challenges throughout life, but the Sun in Apollo in the ninth indicates the ability to take those challenges and help other people grow and expand through their own personal experiences. It's a nice alignment.
Yeah, she's 11 going on 30.
Yeah, the eighth house energy wakes people up very early.
Yeah, and she's her own little person. And, you know, one of the reasons why I started, you know, looking into building a school was because of my granddaughter, because the way she is. And I know a lot of other children out there that are coming into the world today and have been here for a little while are all going through some of that same stuff. You know, so I use her as kind of a guidelines as to what kind of school I need to help these children. You know, so she fits the bill very well. Now, inside your book, first of all, Jade, tell people how they can get a hold of you.
The best place to get a hold of me is my website, jadelunaastrology.com. jadelunaastrology.com. I have a few various websites out there, but that one is the center one. And that has all the information on how to get a hold of me for readings and so forth.
Okay. And give them the name of your book and where they can get it.
Austerian Astrology, and The Lost System of Alexander the Great. You can get on Amazon. And there are other various places you can buy it as well, but Amazon or my website would probably be the best way to get a hold of the book.
Okay. Now, also inside your book, you talk about inauspicious and auspicious. Can you explain that?
Inauspicious is actually positive energy. Inauspicious is challenged energy. Auspicious is very positive, uplifting energy. So if someone has an inauspicious alignment, it traditionally indicates difficult karma from a previous life that is meant to be worked out now in this current life. Inauspicious energy is difficult karma that's working itself out. Auspicious karma, or just energies in general, are traditionally very positive.
Okay. Because, again, that's kind of different. People look at trines and squares and things like that in normal astrology, so that's a little different.
I do use them, and this book was written specifically for astrologers to get an understanding of these 27. I have a series of other textbooks coming out about this system as well that will help people understand a little bit more, because I do use squares, I do use trines, but first and foremost, I look right at the signs of the person and the palaces. Those palaces can tell me a lot. Like, traditionally, someone's moon and sun palace, when you use them together, will tell me what type of life this individual is going to have. Because the moon is the subconscious, and the sun is our consciousness. I still say we're in an age where the moon is stronger than the sun because we act from such a subconscious nature. My goal, though, is trying to shift people into their sun sign, which is not an easy thing to do, which is where they are the most conscious. So someone could read one of their new signs, one of these palaces or these new 12 signs with the new system and go, you know what, I don't know if that actually fits me. My response to that is that people are not entirely aligned with themselves, and that's who they should be trying to be when it comes to these new signs. But yeah, the moons do tell me a lot. There are some moons that are very difficult. Like if you're born under it, it does set the whole tone of what that life is going to be like, and so forth.
Okay. Now, you also talk a little bit about nodes. How does that relate to the way you do it?
Our nodes are seen in ancient Roman Greco mysticism. The nodes were very powerful and predominant personalities. And in the future, I'm going to be introducing the North and South Node, not just as transitions, but as actual divine personalities. In Rome, it was the dragon, the head and the tail of the dragon. And there are very specific personalities. That means, in my system, someone could have like a Dioscuri moon, which is inside of Aries, and the planet that rules over their personality is the South Node. And a lot of people don't realize what that means to be a South Node personality. We know what it means to be a Venus. We know what it means to be a solar personality, or even a Mars personality or a Mercury, but we don't know what it means to be a South Node or a North Node personality, which will be introduced through the system in time.
Okay. You also have the Lords, the House of Lords. How does that vary from what people know today?
Let's use a February 2nd, 2000 example. She was born with a very early Taurus rising. It's actually at 1 degrees. That means Venus is the lord of her whole chart. And where Venus falls into, what palace and what sign Venus falls into will end up directing her throughout her whole life. She has her Venus in the 8th house, in Sagittarius. And so the 8th house energy and Sagittarian energies will end up defining who she is. But that's what we call the lord of the first. The lord of the second, as an example. Gemini rules over her second house, so the lord of Gemini is Mercury. So wherever Mercury falls will determine her connection to her family and to finances in general. So she has Mercury in Aquarius, which is a very abundant place to have your finances in place, which means when she's older, money is not going to be a problem for her, because the lord of the second, money, is placed right in the cusp between the 9th and the 10th. Very positive position for finances.
That's good. She can help me. How's that?
Yeah.
Also in your book, you actually do a few charts on a couple of very well-known figures, like you did one on Ted Bundy. And you know,
I'm glad
you're
bringing this up.
A little bit of detail about that. So let's, you know, talk a little bit about his chart and the way you have done it versus, I mean, because there's other people who've done it using the normal astrology. So tell us about your way.
Well, the interesting thing about serial killers in general, it was about, I've done one radio show on serial killers in New York. I did one on Jeffrey Dahmer. And what spawned this whole interest in it was, about like 15 years ago, I saw this article written in a magazine, I think it was in the Mountain Astrologer, about serial killers and how they're all born under the constellation Sagittarius. And they listed all these serial killers, and here I am. I was already a Vedic astrologer at that time. I did all their charts, and they all swung into Scorpio. And that was one of the most frustrating things for me, was to read this article about how serial killers are born under the constellation Sagittarius. I'm like, oh, wait a minute here. We know Scorpio represents those types of subconscious forces more than Sagittarius. And so I used that as a little bit of leverage to kind of prove my point, and Ted Bundy being the most specific. I mean, Western astrology has this guy as being a double Sagittarius, and my system has him lined entirely inside of Scorpio. Not only that, he was born with his rising sign in the void of course, which I've found not only Ted Bundy, but the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez, also were born with the rising sign in the void of course. It's a very dark, dark position. And he also has the mark of Hecate, and he just has all these really malefic aspects in his chart, or inauspicious, which is the word that I use. And so I use serial killers often to kind of prove my point, because through this system, they're more easily defined. But you could see how he would end up having a severe superiority complex through the stellium of planets inside of Scorpio. And his rising sign being in the void of course makes him a inauspicious entity in general. And I ended up using his chart to definitely prove my point that, hey, these serial killers are not born under Sag. They're all born under Scorpio. So he was the perfect candidate for that.
Yeah, you know, again, a lot of people come up with a lot of different things. It's like, well, okay. But, you know, like I do readings every now and then just to have fun and do them, and I'll just pick somebody out of the clear blue. And a lot of times they come up, you know, totally different than what other people may see them. You know, so, I mean, it is kind of interesting. Now, inside your book, you also talk about the planetary rims and the seven planes of astrological realization. So let's talk about that a little bit, because that was pretty interesting.
Well, I love these questions, by the way. That was one, it was really important to me to have that in the book. In ancient Roman Greco mysticism, these planets were not just entities on the outside of us. They're also entities that exist inside of us through our chakra systems. And there are certain spiritual experiences we can have by going through these chakric systems inside of ourselves. Like Saturn rules over the root chakra. And in ancient Roman Greco mysticism, there were certain spiritual practices that could be done to awaken that planet inside of yourself to experience the divine qualities of that planet. And the goal was to have experiences with all seven planets at the same time. And so these seven planes of realization are experiences that ancient yogis and modern yogis in India strive for. And it's about opening these planets up from the inside, not looking at them as just external forces. But each of the seven planes of consciousness that are mentioned in Austerian astrology are what to be expected when you awaken that chakra. And when you awaken the crown, which is where the sun is located, and if you can fully awaken it, in this day and age, we can awaken our chakras subtly. We have one day they're open, the next day they're not open. There is a point you get through spiritual experience where they stay open. And when you enter the realm of the crown chakra, and when that one fully wakes or awakens, we are officially done with our cycles of birth and death and reincarnation and so forth. So there's a journey, though, through the seven chakras we go as we advance into the sun, into the light.
That's kind of neat. Now, everybody is concerned about the Mayan calendar and the year 2012. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've been doing Earth Change seminars. As a matter of fact, I would say what launched my career to the next level was doing these Earth Change seminars. And it is systematically happening perfectly. You know, I do not use 2012 as a point of total change, but it's inside of a point that I use. I've had 2009, 10, 11, 12, and 13 as being the most pivotal years for this planet in moving into the next age. You know, and I'm always asked about 2012, and I'm like, well, we have to get past 2011 first. This year, you talk about a year of firsts. This year opens with a blue moon. Right on January 1st, midnight, 2011, there is a blue moon up there. The blue moon is symbolized by the energy of Saturn. That set the tone for the whole year, because where the planets are aligned on January 1st, that is the energy that sustains all year around. Not only did we have a blue moon, we had an eclipse a week before, then we had an eclipse right after the new year, and this year opening on a blue moon was a first. Then we enter this extreme supermoon phase, and this moon was like the first supermoon we've had at this caliber for many, many, many years. Then we have three eclipses in June, not two, but three. This planet hasn't had three eclipses in a row in quite some time. It's a big year. I'll put it that way. And this year, I could see being very powerful and being the door opener into 2012 and 13. But my system has it where we're slowly moving from the age of Porcus, which is a palace. We are just getting ready to move into the age of Chimera. And we are at that threshold now, but I do not use 2012. What I use is a bigger alignment, which we're already in right at this moment. And that is not finalized until 2013, 2014. And I just see that as the beginning of the next age of consciousness as we shift from the age of Porcus into the age of Chimera.
Yeah, I find it really fascinating because growing up, I would get all these visions and I would hear all these wonderful angel voices, as I call them, coming through me. And they would constantly tell me 2010, all right? Now, that's when I was like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. 2010, 2010 is all I heard. I kept hearing it, kept hearing it. I thought, well, that's kind of weird because that's a long time down the road. And then we got into 29, and I thought, a lot of change is going to be starting to happen. A lot of change is going to be starting to hit because they, again, could keep repeating the 2010. And then they finally came up with 2010 through 2017. And I'm going, well, that's 7 years worth of something coming. You know, they don't tell me everything. They just give me these little subtle hints. You know, so then, you know, everybody started talking about, oh, my God, my encounter ends on December 21st, 2012. And I'm thinking, you know, we are 2 hours ahead of that calendar. Mm-hmm. And yet people don't quite get that. So they're all running in panic thinking, oh, my God, what's going to happen for 2012? But the truth is we really started a lot of changes, earth changes and just changes in general, you know, 2009 through 2010 and then this one, 2011, this is really going to be a changing time, and it already has. I mean, even the weather has been strange, more earthquakes, more volcanoes erupting, everything going on. So with the astrology that you do, Jade, have you checked out, like, say, what the Earth itself may be trying to do?
Yeah, and that goes into just shifting of these ages. We are right now in the midst of a shifting into one age into another. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say the Divine Mother, she must be very angry and very upset. And I'm like, no, this is not the way it is at all. We are just moving into a new age. And this planet is somewhat at a death stage right now, getting ready for a rebirth. And the rebirth is going to be quite interesting experience because we're being asked to function on a level that is much higher than we've been asked to function on in maybe in recorded history, if we really look at it. And this planet is pressing everyone to evolve and grow to the next level. And the people that are really suffering are the people that are having a really hard time making this adjustment into this next age. But it's happening right now, and I agree with you 100% that this is a process. 2012 isn't going to answer everything. It's, in my opinion, a part of a major shift that's been going on for many, many years already. And my last seminar that I gave about Earth changes, I called it the beauty of the next age, basically saying let's move on from this age, let's get ready for the next one, because there's so many people meditating, trying to prevent this next age from coming out of fear on some subtle level. But I really believe that if people were able to see what is coming after this age is over, people would want this transition more than they do now. I think the age we're getting ready to go into is such an elevated age of consciousness that I think we're getting ready for a very peaceful vibration, but it's going to be a very difficult process getting into that because people are so attached to the way things are at the moment.
Yeah, and, it's really funny. I keep saying, just bring it on. It's really time. Bring it on.
That is exactly my motto with it, too. Yep.
You know, it really is because, you know, for people like yourself, Jade, and people like me, not that we're anything special, but we do stay open and we still have some more knowledge comes in. But it's like we already kind of know what's going to be coming. And, yeah, you're right, a lot of light workers are meditating, trying to hold this planet together. But see, unless this planet makes some changes and some shifts, you know, it's not going to do well. And the people that are here on it who have just been taken from it have to learn that they can't keep doing that. So it's kind of like they have to get back to, you know, Mother Earth, love, and the whole bit. And that's where people are, I think, more afraid of anything is the word love, because a lot of people don't know at this time what love is anymore, you know, and they don't really see beyond their nose. They only listen to the news and the media talk about all the destruction that's going on all over. But, you know, that destruction is due to end. But it won't end if we keep up the same pace what we're doing right now. You know,
I agree 100%.
Yeah, you know, and I try to tell people that, and they go, yeah, but, you know, we may not make this shift and everything. And it's like, you know, even if you don't make this shift, you're still going to be fine. But we need to not try to hold it back. We really need to allow it to come in so we can do the growth that we need to do so we can continue on, because we're actually hurting ourselves more by not wanting to grow than if we just allow it. You know, and that's a part that people need to understand, even though it's a hard concept. They need to understand that.
It's 100% true. And my whole spiritual path in India was about overcoming fear. You know, I live here in Los Angeles. You know, see, I always get people contact me saying, Jade, I can't believe you live in Los Angeles. Get out of Los Angeles. It's going to fly into the ocean. I hear these things all the time. First and foremost, I'm not the type to run anywhere out of fear. That's just not my nature at all. And in reality, I think that these intense transitions are about purifying people's fear, because I believe wholeheartedly that fear is an attractor. And the more fear you have, the less peace you can actually hold as a human being. And the more fearless you are, the more peace you can sustain. So these transitions on this planet, I see, can be used as an opportunity for people to purify their subconscious fears and get prepared for a much more expansive phase and energy on this planet. It's an interesting journey. You know, this whole change has really shaken people to the core. And in my job as an astrologer over the last 2 years have been hard because of how many people break down in front of me now. People just come in, sit down, and break down. And it's because of the lack of awareness in what you said, love. When you stay in love, there is no fear. There's no fear at all. And these transitions are made with, they're just made with so much more ease. When we have a lot of fear, this fear ends up storing inside of us and creating these really difficult energies, which is why so many people are having breakdowns right at this moment. So I believe the age we're going into is a very fearless, peaceful age. But before we can get there, we have to have our fears purified. And that's why, you know, I've always worshipped the dark side of the mother, not out of any maliciousness or darkness, but because, well, I believe wholeheartedly that I as a human being, had to overcome my personal fears in order to have more peace. And this path I've chosen has allowed that, and also allowed me to handle these earthly transitions, because I know that change leads us towards who we are and our higher selves.
Yeah, and, you know, people need to understand that, and that's the part, like, I keep trying to get people to understand also that they have to allow these changes. They have to allow themselves to grow. Without that growth, it's not going to turn out so good, you know. and the thing is, because of the fear and because of watching television and listening to all of the people talk about how it's all coming to an end, we're all going to implode, it's like, folks, that's not true. You know, will there be more disasters? Yes. Will some people die? Yes. But it's really to cleanse and to keep going, not to end us. And
I agree 100%.
Kind of know that. My other thing, Jade, let's talk about are these children that they keep drugging left and right with Ritalin and all that because they say they have ADD, ADHD. If parents would have a reading done, an astrology chart done by you for their children, what do you think would happen to that premise that all these children are suffering from ADD or ADHD?
Well, you know, it's very interesting because one of my most popular readings is a reading called the parent-child reading, which I discuss, you know, children and who they are and what they're going through internally and how a mom or a father can direct them. There's two types of energies when you're dealing with children that are born nowadays. And a lot of these issues that are going on, like ADD, all these things are, in my opinion, based upon the purification of the mind. You know, as an example, before we can really go into the heart, the mind has to slow down in order to really go into the heart. But right before the mind slows down, it actually speeds up and reaches its threshold, where then finally there's a breaking point and the heart then officially takes over the mind. And I believe that most of the kids in this day and age that are being, you know, diagnosed with all these, I mean, it goes on and on, the diagnosis going on right now, I believe are a sign of a really powerful future generation where the heart is officially going to start taking over the minds of these individuals. And, you know, and also I've seen on several cases with charts of children where, let's just say you have a life in India where you are a monk and you are meditating that whole life to go into the heart and to experience love. Your next life, the mind is going to be very different. I believe some of these people have chiseled away a big part of the mind so the heart can take over. I really believe there's priceless gems out there in the youth. And even in my astrology system, you know, whether I'm going to get my system across to adults is, it's debatable. I may or may not be able to, but I'm going right after that younger generation with my system, knowing that they actually contain a tremendous amount of light and desire for the truth. And I believe a lot of these issues going on could be a sign of a super sensitive shift going on this planet that they're totally aware of.
Yeah, see, and my belief is that most children that are diagnosed with ADD, ADHD, really do not have it. They're just being children, but they are very sensitive, and they do pick up on all these different energies, you know, and their emotions are very, very tender, and it's very hard for their energies to lower their vibrations to meet ours, because we really haven't brought our vibrations up high enough like we should have been, or we really wouldn't be in the mess that we're in. You know, so that's my thing with the school. That's part of it. It's called the School of Now, and it's actually a school of truth, because I think it's time these children know the truth, and they're pretty bored with the same old, you know, that we've been raised with that's not necessarily true. So that's the other reason why I ask about children, because I do not believe that most of these children ought to be on anything. I think they should just be allowed to be who they are.
Yeah, and I think we're dealing with a very sensitive generation coming. And I mean sensitive as spiritually sensitive. And I've already seen it. I've already seen a lot of awakened, you know, children out there. And some of them have been diagnosed with pretty heavy, you know, stamps put on them. And I find that those particular stamps that are being put on a lot of children of these diagnoses actually can be harmful, can definitely be harmful.
They can definitely be harmful, you know, any kind like that. Now, Jade, you also, on your website, you have Jade's music. Let's talk a little bit about that before we run out of time.
You know, obviously I talked about overcoming fear. This is a very interesting, you know, question because you know, many years ago, I gave this seminar tour about overcoming fear. And I had one of my clients contact me and say, oh, I went to your seminar, and because of what you said about overcoming fear, I started jumping off bigger moguls. I started jumping out of planes. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's not really what I want at all. You know, I don't want people, when I'm saying overcoming fear, to do things that are harmful to them. And I actually had people doing things like that, confronting their fear. So I said, what should I do here? And so I ended up creating music that would kind of bring up your fear, pull your fear to the surface, while the chants would end up clearing out those fears. So the music has a definite dark intonation to it, without a doubt. And that was my goal, was to create kind of a darker form of music so people could sit in their fears while the chants purified them. Meanwhile, I ended up sending some of my CDs to Germany. I got some clients out there, and their kids were listening to it and ended up loving it, as if it was their favorite type of goth music. And I ended up getting a phone call from Legatus Records in Switzerland and Germany, and they're saying, we love your music. And all of a sudden, this music became successful in, like, this younger generation world. When originally my music was about helping people overcome their fears, it now is becoming kind of its own niche, and it's become its own little trendy thing in other places on this planet right now.
That's kind of cool. You know,
It was not what my intention was, but now I really enjoy it. Now I actually really like it a lot. But a lot of my clients contact me like, Jade, I love your astrology, but that stuff I heard, that's kind of some scary stuff. And I'm like, well, that when I explain it, then they understand it. But nevertheless, I have had a little bit of controversy around that.
Well, but see, without controversial, let's look at it this way. Without controversial, it would never be known.
And controversy is my main thing. I love doing things that are controversial. I love doing things that make people think harder than they actually are at this moment. And I enjoy that. Like, even this whole astrology movement, which I'm trying to create, I'm actually just really having fun with it. I'm wholeheartedly behind what I'm doing. I know it's the truth. Where it ends up going in the end, it's not up to me. It's up to something higher than me. I'm just trying to have as much fun as I can while it's all happening. And that is taking place.
Having fun is a big important thing. If you could tell the listeners one thing, Jade, that would help them to understand, you know, your type of astrology or your type of music or where you're coming from, what would that be?
Well, it's important for me to really let people know that this astrology shift that I'm trying to bring here is a very, very real matter. And I believe wholeheartedly if people can look objectively and make the shifts that I'm asking them to make, I believe it's not just about astrology at that point. It's about aligning with their true higher self. And I'm offering an opportunity for people to become more conscious of who they are and what they really represent. And this is about aligning. It's not just about astrology. It's about alignment. So I'm asking people to really sincerely open up to these changes astrologically that are going on right now and accept them as a very real reality.
Yeah, and again, we've already decided sometimes it's hard for people. I have one other question. We're almost out of time, so I have one other question. A few years ago, they said that Pluto was no longer a planet. How do you feel about that?
I've had three experiences in my life where I've almost passed on. I've almost choked. I was in a couple car crashes in this life, every single one of them under a Pluto alignment. I have a Virgo rising, so Mercury is my ruler. And every one of my major experiences that were pretty traumatic have been under Pluto alignments. Ignoring Pluto as an entity is ignorance.
Yeah. I agree with that. You know, but it was really funny because they said, no, Pluto's not a planet anymore. It's just a star. And it's like, I don't think so.
Well, that's also the point of my system, is to let people know there's a lot more going out there in the zodiac than just the zodiac that we know. These constellations, there's a lot going on out there, and as above, so below, as they say in ancient time. And so everything out there has an effect on us.
Yeah, so let's give out your websites again and the name of your book and let people know where they can find you and get your book.
It's called Austerian Astrology, The Lost System of Alexander the Great. You can get it on Amazon. And my website is jadelunaastrology.com.
Okay, why don't you spell that for them?
jadelunaastrology.com.
Okay. It's real important. Otherwise, people be going and they go, well, I can't find you. So,
and my book is also listed on my website, so it's also sold there as well.
Well, can they get their music from your website, too?
Yeah, you can get it on my website, but actually that's better to get on Amazon. Amazon's the best place to get any of my music.
Okay. Jade, it's been great talking with you. We're actually out of time.
I thank you so much for allowing the show to take place, because like I said, through this controversy, not everybody is accepting me at this moment, and I was really happy to have this opportunity to be on your show.
Hey, I'm all for controversy, too. We got to wake people up. Right, Jade? We got to let
them know. I agree 100%.
All right. Thank you for taking the time. It's been very enlightening. And again, your book was very well, you know, very well written, and it's pretty good. So I would suggest people pick it up so they can look at things a little bit differently these days.
Well, I appreciate it very much.
And you take care, and you have a great week.
You as well.
Thank you. I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week. Kind of think about what we've said. Check out his book and see what you learn. Take care. Bye now.